Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. Israel's military says Hezbollah guerrillas have fired at least 10 Katyusha rockets into southern Lebanon. None of those rockets hit inside Israel and no injuries were reported. The rocket explosions reported by Israel came hours after the start of the UN ceasefire in Lebanon. The military says it has not responded to the rockets. Conflicting reports from the Middle East on the cause of the death of 47 Iraqis. The U.S. military blames a natural gas explosion, while an extremist group is claiming responsibility for the Baghdad explosions. In an internet posting, the El Sabaha soldiers say they booby-trapped two cars and fired mortar shells. The Sunni group is also taking responsibility for a blast last month in another Shiite neighborhood. Roadblocks have been set up across Gaza in hopes of finding two journalists for Fox News who were kidnapped earlier today. Witnesses and Fox News say masked Palestinian gunmen ambushed a car carrying the Fox News crew in Gaza City. Employee identified the missing men as reporter Steve Kisantani, a U.S. citizen and a cameraman from New Zealand. Palestinian security officials have put police across Gaza on alert and set up roadblocks. Major militant groups in Gaza deny any connection to the incident. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez says some current airport security may become permanent. Speaking in Chicago, Gonzalez says if security officials can figure out a way to screen for liquid explosives, then it might be possible to lift the liquid ban. Otherwise, he warns, there may be permanent changes. Gonzalez says before Britain arrested suspects in a plot to blow up planes to America, more than 200 FBI agents were following tips about possible activities in the U.S. He says there is no evidence of an ongoing plot in America. New computer technology for the Department of Veteran Affairs. The department plans to upgrade its computers with a new encryption technology. The effort follows a pair of incidents in which VA computers containing personal information of millions of veterans was lost. VA Secretary Jim Nicholson says the program will be a tremendous step forward in terms of safety and security for sensitive data. AIDS has become a black disease. That from the chairman of the NAACP at an international summit in Toronto. Julian Bond, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, and other powerful African-American leaders called on their own community to accept responsibility for ending the devastation of AIDS, which has claimed more than 200 black Americans since the epidemic began 25 years ago. Air America Radio News, Mike Young.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Welcome to tonight's program. Phone number here is 866-303-2270. We're going to focus a bit on the ceasefire. I don't know if it's still in effect or not. CNN a few minutes ago reported using the IDF as a source that approximately 10 rockets had been fired from southern Lebanon, so who knows. We're going to talk about a little bit from a very weird perspective, and that is the claims by whomever. I guess Hezbollah is making the claim. Maybe Ehud Omer is making the claim. Maybe editorial writers and opinion makers in this country are making the claim. But there seems to be a cottage industry now in, are you ready for this, who won? It's sick. A pox on all their houses, I swear to God. Bush's approval rating has apparently sunk now below 30%, so I guess the liquid terror scare didn't do anything except truly piss off air travelers who had their toothpaste taken away from them, and their baby's formula, and were told they couldn't apply lip gloss during their flights. You know, the baby feeding thing. Okay, I get in the first place everybody should be nursing if you got a baby that young. What do you say there? that's just my feeling. But then you know. I've never been in a position where I've had to breastfeed, so I guess it's a matter of perspective. But brush your teeth, apply lip gloss. Why do people need carry-on to begin with? I mean, really, I don't quite get it. When I fly, I know you're allowed a personal thing and one bag you can put in the overhead compartment. And I watch some of these people get on airplanes with suitcases as big as the one I just checked. And you know, the first thing that does, and I've just got to rant about this for a second. How many times have you been on a flight and hear the stewardess or the flight attendant? Ooh, there's an old phrase, term. You hear the flight attendant come on and say, please, when you found your seat, would you step out of the aisle so that we can get everybody on board and can get away from the gate and taxi and take off? And people don't pay any attention to it. As they're working their way into the airplane to find their seat, you know, when they find their seat, they just stand there with these huge suitcases and put, you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, I have a very simple solution. You carry nothing. You get your purse if you're a female. You get a simple purse-sized shoulder bag if you're a male. That's it. Goodbye. iPods, computer, what the hell is this? Flying is not supposed to be fun. Flying is supposed to be efficient. It's supposed to be efficient and terrifying. Get on the damn plane, take off, hold on for dear life, land, and be happy you didn't crash. That's what flying is supposed to be.
Oh, I love to fly.
No, you don't. If you do, you're sick. There's some kind of a genetic defect. You were made to walk on the earth. But I digress. Just stop people from carrying stuff on. What the hell is up with that? Oh, never mind. This is the age of Bush. You know, you have somebody who is probably a convicted felon, probably has a ninth grade education, standing there telling you to take your shoes off. You have people who are looking at your suitcase or your little carry-on bag as it goes through this x-ray machine or fluoroscope, whatever the hell it is. Those things remind me when I was a kid, and every year, a week before school, my mother would take me to the Buster Brown outlet, and I loved it because I got to put my foot in that thing, not knowing I'm going to get foot cancer. Put my foot in, I see my bones, you know, and I thought, oh, isn't this fun? So that's what those fluoroscope, x-ray machine. So you have someone who's sitting there an 8-hour-a-day job. who is about as interested in the little shapes and wires and funky little things she or he sees in the suitcase going through. Oh, yeah, what's that? Give me another Burger King. Go ahead, sir. Sir, wait a minute. You didn't open your computer bag. Give it. Bust that guy. Jesus God. No, real simple. Here you go. You don't carry anything on board an airplane. Just get on the damn thing and shut up and sit quietly for your hour and a half or your three-hour flight. I don't care where you're going. I'm sick of this. I really am sick of this, you know? I mean, have any of you ever flown on some airline in some African country? No, I don't think you have you? Have you ever flown on an airline in some godforsaken province in central India trying to get from one city to another? You know, where you're flying with chickens and goats and people that are making curry in the aisle? And what do people...
I want to have my iPod. I've got to carry my sport drink. You know, I'm going to be on this plane for 2 hours. Jesus Christ, I have to have something to drink. I'll just get dehydrated. My kidneys will shrivel. Yeah.
But no. So what do we get? We get this freak in the White House and this Chertoff, who every once in a while climbs out of his coffin to make these announcements. Then you have Alberto Bushes Tejano, who all stand out there, right? Every one of them stand up. Okay, here's the new deal. Here's the new deal. Take off your shoes. Take off your socks. Empty your purse. No lip gloss. Take off your hairpiece. Let's get these, are you wearing dentures? How do we know the dentures aren't made out of plastique instead of plastic? Come on, get it on us. Strip it down. Yeah, son of a bitch. You're going to fly off someplace cool, and I have to sit here in front of this x-ray machine. Get your freaking shoes off, or I'll arrest you. You want to go to Guantanamo? Very simple. Stop with the carry-on. Stop. Just bring it to a stop. On a domestic flight. If you're going overseas, you know, leave it up to say, you know, okay, overseas, a little bit different. You can get on an airplane for 8 hours or 6 hours or 14 hours or 17 hours. Okay, you know, take whatever you want. But within the United States, what is this?
Oh, I've got to have my water. I've got to have my iPod. I have to have my cell phone and my computer. Oh, my God, I have to have my inflated sex doll. You know, I got to have all my little toys up here.
Airline travel has to be put back to what it was. It's a terrifying interlude, getting from point A to point B because we're all in such a huge hurry. Now, spend your time looking out the window from 38,000 feet. It's really kind of cool until you stop and consider what you're really doing. You're in this massive piece of metal, and you're flying. Am I coming through with this? Is this coming through loud and clear? I am so sick of these games. My God. Code red alerts and visions of exploding Starbucks, triple mocha decaf cappuccinos on an L-1011 weren't enough to bump Dim Sun over the 30% approval mark. Too bad. Who cares, right? Except that when his popularity dips too low, he starts to get all crazy and stuff and wants to blow places up like Iran. You think I'm kidding? You know it's bad when the Pentagon puts the brakes on Raisin Brain and his cyborg vice president and tells both of them that exploding nukes in Iran would be, you know, a really, really bad idea. We'll be back after the break.
Every place I go, I'll think of you. Every song I sing, well, I'll sing for you. When I come home, I'll bring your friendship ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'll be back again, feeling I'll see you in my dreams.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I've torture tested my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum in the world's most grueling proving grounds, luxury hotels. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Folks, you owe it to yourself to try the end product of my 40-year obsession, the 8-pound Orrick XL. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. If it's perfect for hotels, it's perfect for you.
Enjoy America's great destination spots. Get down to Disney World in Florida.
Well, I just let me add this about the flying thing. Cindy writes in, Mike, I have a different take on flying. I think we should all quit flying because Our privacy and our freedom is stripped as a prerequisite. We need to stand up for our rights. Tell them adios. I get that. I know we can't stop flying, but certainly makes sense in a weird way. Thanks, Cindy.
You were reminding me of an angry Seinfeld there for a minute. But I've always thought it was curious. They make you take your shoes off. They x-ray your shoes, but you could walk on with anything you wanted in a cup. It never did make any sense. But they wanted to make sure your shoes were clean.
I know. It's insane. Speaking of insane, we only have one 60-second soundbite for you tonight, but I want you to hear this. Apparently, Bush has decided not to support the Republican in Connecticut who is running against Democrat Ned Lamont and Independent Joe Lieberman. Now, we all know that candidates are running away from Mr. Bush, but here's a case where Mr. Bush is running away from the candidate. So it raises the question, how conservative is Zell Lieberman? He is so neocon that Bush refuses to support the Republican Schlesinger. So at the press briefing today, a reporter asks this former Fox geek, Tony Snow, does the president support the Republican candidate for Senate in Connecticut?
The president supports the democratic process in the state of Connecticut and wishes them a successful election in November.
Wait, I realize he supports democracy, but I'm wondering, does he actually support his own party's candidate?
I know that's not news.
Why aren't you committing your... Why wouldn't the president commit to support a Republican candidate in that?
I don't know. Why do you ask? Is there something about the candidate that I should know about that would lead to judgments?
I'm just asking you.
No,
I mean,
it's
like a very natural thing that why wouldn't he support a member of his own party? Is it because he's well behind in the polls? Is it because the president likes Joe Lieberman?
There may be a whole host of reasons. The president, I'm just not going to play.
It's not a game, but I'll refer you to
the political office to give you the full judgments on that. I think you know the situation in Connecticut.
I think you know the situation in Connecticut. Yeah, I think most of us do, Tony. Yeah, okay. I said this last week. What I don't understand, I really don't. I'm not trying to be snarky with you here, but why doesn't Lieberman just declare himself out of the Democratic Party? He's been out of the Democratic Party for a couple of years now. Just go ahead, Joe. Just get out, declare yourself a Democrat, Schlesinger, or a Republican. Schlesinger would run like a scared rabbit, and you'd have a chance. Come on, let's just bring it down. Lamont whipped your ass one time already. Let's put it into that a Democrat-Republican thing in the great state of Connecticut. All right? Why don't you do that, Joe? Huh? Oh, that's right. You don't want to lose your job or something. I don't know. This guy just irritates the hell out of me. The question that's being batted around now is this the only country? Are we the only country other than I don't even know if this is being discussed in Israel, but it's certainly being discussed in southern Lebanon. It's certainly being discussed in the Islamic world, however you want to say that. You've got to be careful what you say these days, you know, whether you're criticizing Israel's actions as a sovereign nation or criticizing the activities of militia groups. You've got to be real careful. We live in the strange times, you know. But why is it being discussed in this country? Who won? What kind of a sick creep would add up? Whatever they're putting out there is the number. 150 Israelis dead. I don't know if that includes soldiers. 1,100 Lebanese dead. I don't know if that includes Hezbollah fighters. But they're talking about who won. Hey, we won! No, we won. No, we won. Oh, yeah, you want to fight? No, we won. We won. The LA Times. Today. And it's all over. Bush declares that Israel won. Bush says that Hezbollah has a great public relations department, but that in Bush's opinion, Israel won. Israel, yay, yay, go, 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 down the floor and out the dough. You know, Bush looks at mortal conflict and death and destruction as a high school lacrosse or a college lacrosse game. This sick man, this sick, degenerate, evil man, George Bush, he looks at it like it's a sporting contest. A little more on this when we come back. This is Air America.
Baby, you're lost. Baby, you're lost.
Our mission in Iraq is a vital mission. The mission is one that will be that we obviously couldn't complete if we didn't fulfill our goals.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Abacore. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Abacore and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Abacore really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Abacore works. And Abacore with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Abacore free with your order, plus a free gift from Abacore's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yes, it is.
Mark, I'm Paul.
Yeah?
I own your old, new Passat.
Oh, yeah, the...
Yes! Yeah. Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, you know, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime, we'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
I work all day, Dr. Phil, and, okay, fine, I guess I'm sort of a homebody, so I feel like it's really never going to happen for me.
Look, love is not like the pizza man. Hi, I'm going door to door looking for a life partner. Not going to happen.
Dr. Phil is on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day. For a limited time, Match.com will guarantee you'll find someone special within 6 months, or will give you 6 months free. Join Match.com today, the number one site for love.
And there's an old poster out west, as I recall, that said, wanted, dead or alive.
Yeah, but you just keep dancing around and staying one step ahead of the sheriff, George. What do you expect? All right, time out. I'm getting too many emails here from people who, I've got to leave my little feeble attempts at humor to Sam Cedar or Mark Riley or Mark Maron or somebody like that, because, man, when I attempt it, it just doesn't come off. Kathy, I've gotten about 7 or 8 emails here from people who were taking me to task about what I was saying about carry-on luggage, and I'm kidding.
Even after I said you sounded like an angry Seinfeld, people didn't realize.
Didn't quite get it. Okay. But that's my fault, because, you know, people do not expect to hear feeble attempts at humor on this program. What they expect to hear on this program is dark, murderous, ugly, scary, hate-filled rants.
You know, it's been a long time since we've talked about hobbits.
There's a reason for that.
Rainbows.
Yeah, well. So anyway, back to a typical Malloy topic. People are trying to decide now who won in this latest murderous dust-up between Israel and one of its neighbors. And I put quotes around the word neighbors, trust me. But the L.A. Times, I started to say, quoted Bush, as did most news outlets, as saying that, in his opinion, Israel had won. Well, I get an email from George in L.A., and George writes, Israel won and Hezbollah lost, per George W. Bush, really? Ask the Israeli or Lebanese citizens that question. Do I get to declare that the Seattle Seahawks won last year's Super Bowl? What the blank planet is Bush on? Hezbollah, a militia, fought to a one-month stalemate against the fourth-largest military in the world using modified bottle rockets with no guidance system. This agreement does not disarm Hezbollah. It makes them Lebanon's ruling party in essence. Now Hezbollah is Lebanon, and Lebanon is Hezbollah. These idiots elevated Hassan Nasrallah to Gamal Abdel Nasser status in the Arab world. Hezbollah can now go mainstream with the credibility of being the only Arab army to have fought Israel successfully. Nasrallah is not only the most powerful man in Lebanon, he is the most powerful man in the Arab world now. They're writing poetry and singing songs and naming streets after him. This also, George continues, takes the luster off the Israeli military. Now, in the eyes of Syria, Egypt, etc., Israel just got blanked by a militia with no planes or tanks. They either don't get it, or they really don't believe their own propaganda. The Israeli Knesset was screaming for Ehud Olmert's blood today. And the U.S. managed to radicalize Lebanon, the most moderate Arab nation ever. Good job, jackasses. Yeah, well, thanks, George. I certainly understand that. And then at consortiumnews.com today, an article by, whoever, Robert Perry. Yeah, I agree with Bart Kopp when he says that consortiumnews.com is the most important website out there, most important spot on the internet. He says, amid the political and diplomatic fallout from Israel's faltering invasion of Lebanon, some Israeli officials are privately blaming Bush for egging on Ehud Olmert into the ill-conceived military adventure against the Hezbollah militia. And that story's out there all over the place. Now we're starting to find out that there is an element. It's the usual gang of quiet murderers who Elliot Abrams and Richard Pearl and Bill Kristol and Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld. You know, these real evil people who truly were pushing Bush to unleash the nukes on Iran. Part of the push, the quiet behind the scenes backing of the Israeli military. There is no logic, there is no sense in what Israel did at all. None. I defy you. And I don't care if you're the most ardent Zionist ever to listen to the radio. It doesn't make any difference. There is no gain here for the nation of Israel. Nothing. It's all loss. Further radicalization, if any is possible, of the people who would like to bring an end to Israel. And if not bring an end to it, blow up more buses in downtown Tel Aviv. This is crazy. This is insane. Mark Perkel writes, Bush just lost another war to Hezbollah, Syria, and Iran. I say Bush lost the war because it turns out that it was Bush who talked Israel into fighting a proxy war against Hezbollah and failed to get Syria and Iran involved in a larger regional war. The losers in the war include the people of Lebanon, a democracy almost wiped out by the U.S. and Israel. Israel and the U.S. are also big losers because this war was an unjust war and has turned world opinion against Israel and the United States. The winners, unfortunately, are Hezbollah, who held off the Israelis and Iran and Syria, who had the restraint to not get involved. And the other winners are Islamic radicals. Perkel goes on, because America has a weak and stupid president, Bush has made us weaker while making Islamic terrorists stronger. Of course. It's sad. That's a very weak statement. It's beyond sad. It's beyond sad. There is only one way out of this, and it's never going to happen. There will be endless war and death and destruction in the Middle East. It's never, ever, ever going to stop. Never. It's just a question of the intensity. Is it going to be low level? Is it going to be? You know, I have this question. The Europeans who came to this country, the original, the pilgrims and the people who came here, the white people, the Christians, and they were Christians. The original people. They came here because they had been ordained. This God gave them this land and made it very clear to these early Christians. I'm giving you this new world. It's yours. This is going to be a special place. And I, the Christian God, give it to you. So the Christians came here, and of course there are already people living here. No matter. They didn't belong here. This wasn't there. God gave this to the Christians. So the answer is very simple. Genocide. Very simple. Just aim your superior European military might against the inhabitants here, the indigenous people, the savages, so-called Indians, Native Americans, or whatever you want, the indigenous peoples. You know, they weren't really from here either. You know, they came here across some land bridge about 25,000-30,000 years ago. So this claim that they're Native Americans is bogus to begin with, right? Isn't that the revisionist history? So what do we do? Well, we did what good imperialists do, what good Europeans do. Those that we couldn't butcher and murder, we forced into what they call reservations. And even after we did that, we still tried to slaughter him. Here are some buffalo blanket. Keep your family warm in teepee. Don't pay any attention to the viruses we have put on there, because we don't even have a word virus yet. You know, typhus on on Buffalo Blanket. Smallpox on Buffalo Blanket. Don't think it's okay. Just snuggle down. Wrap papoose in typhus, smallpox, anything else we can think of. It's very simple. And finally, we said, okay, y'all are American citizens, right? You can be here, even though you're not Christians. You worship your, what do you call it, the great spirit or the wind or what do you call this place, Turtle Island? Oh, that's very cute. Very cute. Turtle Island? Oh, okay. All right, but we're going to give you full citizenship and you can vote, but we're also going to make sure that after 300, 400 years of this, you people are so twisted, you so-called indigenous people, that it's all you can do not to drink yourselves to death and commit suicide. So, the model is there, right? And if the Israelis look at our model, what we've done, and say, oh, hey, that worked, what's the difference?
Praise the Lord and hit 'em hard. The devil must have his doom. That's all the weapons of Uncle Sam. The smallpox Indian blankets, the bombs that beat Japan. Bless the cops and prisons that make us free. This land.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Pet owners praise it. The hotel staff loves it. Parents rave about it. Allergy sufferers applaud it. Senior citizens are agog about it. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm David Orrick. Everybody's singing the praises of my 8-pound Orrick XL because it's the best vacuum that ever touched their floors. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
I gave the people in Afghanistan a choice. But they didn't listen. They didn't respond. And now they're paying a price.
Oh, God, you're such a man. Oh, George, you just make my knees weak. So, you know, following up on the Israeli-Palestinian-American, Native American analogy, as weak as it is, there is a way out. There is a way out. All the Palestinians should just open gambling casinos. It's working here, and sell cigarettes, right? Tax-free cigarettes. I think that would work. What?
And lots of booze.
Oh, man.
I wonder what a Muslim casino would look like.
Don't go there. Greg Palast's column today, he mentions that today's a red and orange alert day, both. He calls that odd. He points out that, they caught the British guys with the chemistry sets, but when these guys are about to blow up airlines, we were on a yellow alert. That's a lowered threat notice, right? This domestic Bush crime family terror alert thing is worse than a joke. We know what it's about. We know what it's about, don't we? As Palast points out, according to the Department of Homeland Security's press office, yeah, they have one. Lowered threat yellow means that there were no special inspections of passengers or cargo. You know, no reason to be upset. Isn't it nice, Greg writes, of Mr. Bush to alert Osama bin Laden when half our security forces are given the day off. That's all this terrorist code, color-coded crap is about, that and keeping Americans on edge and trying to influence elections. That's all. You notice how this stuff has stepped up because we got election coming here pretty quick? Oh, Mike, you cynical bastard. That's not... This is a Christian nation. Jesus wouldn't allow that to happen. You know, that kind of crap. Palast says he asked an Israeli security expert why his nation doesn't use these pretty color codes. And the Israeli security expert said to Greg, asked Greg if when he woke up, did he check the day's terror color? And Palast said, I can't say I ever have. I mean, who would? And the Israeli security expert answered, the terrorists do. Well, of course. We're the only nation on the planet that informs bombers, hijackers, and berserkers the days on which they won't be monitored. And as Greg writes, you got to get prettier in the morning to get a jump on George Bush's team. So there are three possible explanations here for this crime family's publishing a Good Day for Bombing color guidebook. One, God is on Osama's side. Two, George is on Osama's side. Three, fear sells better than sex. And Greg will give you a gold star if you pick number three. And I agree with what he says. We're not under attack by terrorists. There's no war on terror, because except for one day 5 years ago, because of what happened. 5 years ago, on one day, Al-Qaeda's pretty much left us alone. And as Greg said on this program last week, that's pretty much because Osama bin Laden got what he wanted. What he wanted was the crusaders, his words, out of the whole land of the two holy places. In other words, get U.S. troops the hell out of Saudi Arabia. That's all he ever wanted. And Bush gave it to him. Now, if you were listening last week, you heard Greg point out that 2 days before landing on the aircraft carrier and strutting around with his manhood sticking out for all the Republican women to go, oh, Jesus, look at that. Bush quietly put out a notice that he was withdrawing our troops from Saudi soil. In other words, our cowering cowboy gave in whimpering to Osama's demand. and the press ignored it. As Greg says, they were all wiggy over Bush's waddling around the carrier deck in a disco-age jumpsuit announcing, "Mission accomplished!" But it wasn't America's mission that was accomplished, Truth Seeker. It was Osama's. But the game goes on, you see? The game goes on. These so-called terrorists that are operating in the civil war in Iraq, this forever war between Israel and the militias and the Palestinians, these things have nothing to do with us, only insofar as we support the wrong team in both instances, as far as the Islamists are concerned. They don't give a damn about the United States. Just stay away from them. Isn't that what Israel says to the Palestinians and the Arabs? Just leave us alone. Just let us live here. Now, you can parse that down, and we've done it a million times on this program. But isn't that all that the Iraqis are saying, or the Muslims around the planet are saying to the United States? Just leave us alone. Keep your crappy television and your naked people and your pornography away from us and our children. We want to live in the ninth century. Leave us alone. Am I missing something? Oh, that's right. That's right. Oil.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and popped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Have you ever found a penny on the ground? Of course you have. Well, imagine that for the next 50,000 steps you take, there's always a penny at your feet. It feels like that.
Have you ever put on a pair of clean pants and found a $20 bill in the pocket? Man, that's a good feeling, right? Well, take that feeling and multiply it by 25 pairs of pants, and you're close.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. Israel's military says Hezbollah guerrillas have fired at least 10 Katyusha rockets into southern Lebanon. None of those rockets hit inside Israel and no injuries were reported. The rocket explosions reported by Israel came hours after the start of the UN ceasefire in Lebanon. The military says it has not responded to the rockets. Conflicting reports from the Middle East on the cause of the death of 47 Iraqis. The U.S. military blames a natural gas explosion, while an extremist group is claiming responsibility for the Baghdad explosions. In an internet posting, the El Sabaha soldiers say they booby-trapped two cars and fired mortar shells. The Sunni group is also taking responsibility for a blast last month in another Shiite neighborhood. Roadblocks have been set up across Gaza in hopes of finding two journalists for Fox News who were kidnapped earlier today. Witnesses and Fox News say masked Palestinian gunmen ambushed a car carrying the Fox News crew in Gaza City. The employee identified the missing men as reporter Steve Kisantani, a U.S. citizen and a cameraman from New Zealand. Palestinian security officials have put police across Gaza on alert and set up roadblocks. Major militant groups in Gaza deny any connection to the incident. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez says some current airport security may become permanent. Speaking in Chicago, Gonzalez says if security officials can figure out a way to screen for liquid explosives, then it might be possible to lift the liquid ban. Otherwise, he warns, there may be permanent changes. Gonzalez says before Britain arrested suspects in a plot to blow up planes to America, more than 200 FBI agents were following tips about possible activities in the U.S. He says there is no evidence of an ongoing plot in America. New computer technology for the Department of Veteran Affairs. The department plans to upgrade its computers with a new encryption technology. The effort follows a pair of incidents in which VA computers containing personal information of millions of veterans was lost. VA Secretary Jim Nicholson says the program will be a tremendous step forward in terms of safety and security for sensitive data. AIDS has become a black disease. That from the chairman of the NAACP at an international summit in Toronto. Julian Bond, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, and other powerful African-American leaders called on their own community to accept responsibility for ending the devastation of AIDS, which has claimed more than 200 black Americans since the epidemic began 25 years ago. Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza.
Welcome back. About 7 past the hour, Sue writes in about Osama bin Laden hiding in that cave somewhere. Remember Osama bin Laden, huh? The one who defeated Bush very simply and easily 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago. As Sue writes, oh, if that cave could be found, what treasure it must hold in addition to Osama bin Laden. That's one fancy cave. Remember in the lead-up to Afghanistan, the drawings we were shown on television complete with the talking heads and their pointers? Yes, those caves with their own ventilating systems, their multiple rooms, and their parking lots, not for one vehicle, but for a fleet of vehicles. Osama bin Laden is sitting pretty in one of those caves somewhere. I suspect the cave may be a bit crowded, though. That's where the missing weapons of mass destruction are, the scuds that Saddam had pointed at Israel that have not been found, the night vision goggles that Rummy said Syria had shipped to Iraq that had never been found, and the trucks Rummy said Russia used to transport the weapons from Iraq to Syria. If we can find that marvelous cave, we find a lot of missing things with Osama bin Laden as a bonus. Signed, Sue. Ah, Sue, you're so cynical. Okay, I'm going to share this with you, and then we're going to go to your phone calls. This was at democraticunderground.com, a piece by Nancy Greggs, one of her posts. Dear President Bush, I'm sorry to bother you while you're on vacation and resting up from all your hard work, but there's something heavy on my mind, and the time has come to unburden myself. I'm a good Republican woman, and I want to do the right thing by my president and my country, so I'll just speak in plain in hopes that you'll understand. It's this terrorism thing. The good Lord knows I want to cooperate with my government and be terrified all the time like I ought to be, but I just got a lot on my plate as it is, and there's only so much worrying I can fit into my day. I start my morning worrying about my financial situation. I'm terrified that I won't make the bills again this month or that we'll end up losing the house. We've been borrowing more often than not these days just to get by. I know you say that running up big debts like the country is doing doesn't matter. Unfortunately, our bank doesn't seem to see things in the same light. I have to stop for gas a couple of times a week on the way to work, and when I see how much the price has gone up since the last time I was there, I'm terrified about how long I can afford to even get to the plant in the first place. You know, by lunchtime, I'm scared to death that my boss is going to walk in and tell me that they're cutting back again, and me, the only source of income for the family, since my husband's place of business packed up and went to Mexico 3 years ago. Sometimes I shake so hard from the fear of it I can hardly concentrate on getting my work done. And during the day, there's other things preying on my mind as well. I'm scared all the time that me or the mister will get real sick, and having no medical insurance, we won't be able to get treatment. I'm scared each day will be my mother's last, because she's really taken a bad turn since the pills she needs aren't covered anymore. Coming home from work at night doesn't mean resting easy either, since my oldest boy joined up and went to Iraq so he could make some college money. I live in fear of the telephone ringing with the kind of bad news no mother should ever have to hear. And if someone comes by unexpected for a visit, I can tell you that knock on the door is enough to give me a heart attack right there on the spot. I used to like to rest a spell in front of the television and catch up on the news after supper, but truth be told, I'm more often than not completely terrified by what I see these days. Nothing but bad news about this new war they got going, and when I'm really scared out of my wits about the old ones that ain't close to finish yet, and no progress seeming to be made. I hear about little children getting killed, and I hear men talking about how they got to keep killing each other no matter what, so that's just another thing for me to be terrified about, that these men will just wind up blowing us all to kingdom come, and I'll wake up dead some morning, never knowing what hit me. And apparently that ain't all I'm supposed to be terrified about. Like I said, hard as I try, I can't seem to keep up. Your people keep reminding me that my marriage will fall apart if certain folks are allowed to get married, that democracy as we know it will disintegrate if someone burns a flag somewhere, and we've only got a few months left before this war on Christmas thing flares up again, and there won't be a safe place left for good Christians like ourselves. And now we got elections coming up, and is it any wonder people don't want to vote? We keep hearing that if we pull the lever for the wrong guy, we're just handing the country over, the whole country over to our enemies, and who wants to take a chance like that? It's not like you even know who's who anymore, because it seems the ones we're told we should be voting for wind up not being on the ballot anyway, because they might have to go to prison before they get a chance to be elected. And by the time I get to bed, Mr. President, I'm exhausted from being terrified about all this stuff, not to mention the pollution that seems to be getting worse and this global warming thing that I know you said isn't true, but seems to be destroying crops and causing droughts and killing old folk just the same. So, as you can plainly see, it's not that I don't want to be scared witless by those terrorist plots you say are happening all the time. It's just that I have so many other things to be terrified about these days, I just don't see how I can fit it in. I don't want to sound ignorant, but the other side of this is that I don't know who I'm supposed to be afraid of and when. Is it Al-Qaeda this week or those Hezbollah fellows? Is it those homeless guys down in Florida who were set to blow up buildings just as soon as they got the bus fare together? I've heard that this week it's that guy that won in Connecticut. But if you could tell me how he figures into exploding bombs on airplanes, I'd be obliged because I just don't understand the connection. Maybe if you could put out one of those schedules like they do for garbage pickup days, I would at least know who I'm supposed to be afraid of and when. And that way, if I do get a few minutes here or there to be terrified about the stuff, I won't look the fool for being scared of the wrong thing at the wrong time. Well, I know you must be busy there on the ranch, sitting on the porch and getting some good thinking done about how to get us out of all these messes those Democrats who are running the country keep getting us into. So I won't take up any more of your valuable time. But thanks for listening. I know a good Christian man like yourself will take every word I've said to heart. May the good Lord bless you, Mr. President, just as much as you deserve. Yours truly. That's a good one. Don't ask me for it because I don't have it. It's at democraticunderground.com. It's written by Nance Greggs, N-A-N-C-E-G-R-E-G-G-S. Go there, do a search, find it, print it off, and it's a good piece. Well done, Nance. Some phone calls, quickly. Joe Ropey is calling from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Joe, welcome to the program.
Well, hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Could I correct you? Joe Ropey.
Ropey! I knew it was Ropey. The reason I mentioned your name, and I normally don't mention people's last names, is because you are calling about an effort to bring Air America
to Stevens Point, Wisconsin, central Wisconsin.
Yeah, I had to go to a Google map to find it. I'm sorry, but you're east of... You're west.
We're east of the Twin Cities, about 200 miles.
There you go, and you're west of the lake.
Yeah, exactly, Lake Michigan. Yep.
I got you.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you on your new contract.
Thank you, but we haven't finalized it completely yet. It's just in the works. But thank you very much, Joe.
You're welcome. The reason for my call is to tell your listeners about our grassroots effort, which is underway to bring Air America on Air America radio station to central Wisconsin. And we need to raise money for the first year operating expenses, and we've set up a website. Can I give that a plug?
No, you can't.
Okay.
No, of course you can. What are you talking about? This is like what they did in Phoenix with the Pixel thing, right?
Exactly.
Right. What is the website, Joe?
ProgressiveTalkStevensPoint.com. That's ProgressiveTalkStevensPoint.com.
And how do you spell Stevens?
S-T-E-V-E-N-S.
Okay, ProgressiveTalkStevensPoint.com.
Yep, and this is similar. Of course, Air America Phoenix went back on the air by selling pixels, and
right.
Little Rock and Milwaukee's doing it as well.
Well, I love this idea because about the only way you can hear progressive programming in fascistan here, or at least what Bush is trying to turn us into fascistan, is with some grassroots efforts. And I think this idea of putting together a website with whatever you want in the pixels, your name, your company's name,
exactly,
howdy to your mama, whatever it is.
And all we want to do is raise $100,000. So if we can find 1,000 Air America radio fans to purchase a 10x10 pixel space and put that information on there, we got it.
Well, it's Very, very doable, Joe. Uh-huh. And I hope that folks in Wisconsin, around the country, if they're so inclined, will do this. You know, they keep writing Air America's obituary, they being these right-wing nutballs, whether they're bloggers or of the O'Reilly stripe. And, you know, for some reason, Air America keeps going. And I think part of the reason is because of efforts by people like you.
Thank you. Madison's going strong, and
they are.
Milwaukee's going to have one eventually. La Crosse, Eau Claire, I think there's one going there shortly. Green Bay, and there is one in Duluth Superior, an Air America radio station.
Yeah. So. What's the website again, Joe?
It is progressivetalkstevenspoint.com.
All right. Check in with me periodically. Let me know how it's going. All right, Joe?
I'll do that. Thank you, Mike. Love your show.
All right. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Keep on rocking in the free world. Keep on rocking in the...
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh.
Uh huh.
The new owner of your Jetta, man. Your old GLI 2004 you traded in. I bought it in October last year.
Right.
Dude, it's such a great car.
Wait a minute. That red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome.
Uh huh.
Is this weird that I'm calling you?
No. I'm working right now.
It's just when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected.
Okay.
You love the Jetta, now I love the Jetta. It's just like we're a family. We should hang out. You and me and the Jetta? How about I give you my number, you ring me when it's good? Do you have an email?
Volkswagen owners really love their cars, but sometimes they have to let them go. Then we pass them on to you. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
It's about 23 past the hour. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Tim is calling from South Dakota. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hey there, good buddy. How you doing?
Doing fine, Tim. How are you?
Hey, all right, my brother. All right. Hey, my heart broke for you the other night, man. I was worried about you. You weren't going to be able to come back after that one. That was pretty bad Thursday night.
What happened Thursday? I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, that was the night before the spiders.
Yeah.
Oh, you remember? Yeah, you kind of broke down that night before, I think, and it was kind of sad. I mean, you're such a valuable person, and see that happen, no good, man.
Well, it gets weird in here sometimes. I'm sure, you know, it gets weird where we all live, you know.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah, we all live inside, brother, and that's where it all comes from, you
know?
That's
right, that's right.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we got a saying here in South Dakota about people like the Bush Leaguers and them all. It's something I learned a long time ago. We call them, they're worthless as nipples on a boar.
Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah. Now, they were talking, I heard about the Katyusha rockets being fired and stuff. Now, this is, you know, arsenal stuff that the Russians have used, well, that the Russians started using back in World War II. And you had to have that stuff on the flatbed of a truck, because once they launched that stuff, the pressure, air pressure, what have you, you had to be standing far away from them. And so for Israel to be targeted in buildings that are supposedly, you know, the place where they're shooting Katyushas from, it's just, it doesn't make any sense, because it would blow up the building and probably destroy the missile because of the blowback.
Well, it's the same as when the U.S. Troops were ordered into Fallujah, and the first two things they decided to destroy are hospitals and mosques. I don't know who is setting military policy in the United States or in Israel, but they are people who are thinking with their hindquarters, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
The United States has... I truly believe this, has set ourselves up as the great Satan for probably the next 10 or 20 generations. Mm-hmm. Israel will never, ever find peace in the Middle East because of its attitude against the other people who happen to have been in that little stretch of land before the Israelis arrived, before the European Jews arrived and the American Jews and declared themselves Israelis. That's just the way it goes. I mean, the war is going to go on forever. I've quoted Meir Kahana so many times, I'm sick of it. But Kahana had it down right when he said there will never be an end to this war until every single Palestinian is driven off the land. Now, if that doesn't sound like the Arabs saying there will never be peace here until every single Jew is driven off the land. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
There is no solution. There never will be, ever.
Mm-mm. Well, you know, I kind of feed into what Roosevelt wanted to do with Germany back towards the end of World War II before he died. He wanted to wipe the country clean, bulldoze everything there, and then give it to the Jews. I wish he would have done that.
Well, I never heard of that. That's, I think, pretty sick, don't you think?
Well, it's sick, but then understand the situation there, too. I mean, Roosevelt was part of one of the oligarchies that guy was talking about, you know, the other day. And the folks that we have in power now, they're an extension of that. The ones previous, of course, were the other one. And it was their idea, part of their plan. You know, I mean, Roosevelt was a good man in how he brought our country together and saved the world. You know, very good. But he had been so sick of everything that the Germans had done and how many millions of people were killed that it's like, I mean, I think he said it more out of
frustration,
you know, and stuff, you know.
Yeah, well, that's a possibility. It just doesn't sound like something that Roosevelt would have said in meaning it. It sounds like one of those statements that people make when they're just so damn frustrated they they've had enough.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Tim. Got a boogie. Thanks a lot
okay,
for
bro.
Checking in. I appreciate it. You take care. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
They say, repent, repent, repent.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Apicor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Apicor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Apicor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Apicor works. And Apicor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Apicor free with your order, plus a free gift from Apicor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL Ultra has an 8-year guarantee. The reason my warranties are so much stronger is that my American-made vacuums are so much stronger. Orrick XLs clean thousands of hotel rooms every day. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. You'll still be breaking in an Orrick while other vacuums are broken down.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's about 26 before the hour. I think I heard today that two employees of Fox News Channel, one American and one New Zealander, have been seized or kidnapped by either Hamas or in Iraq. I guess it was Hamas in the occupied territories. I'm not sure, but it appears that two Fox News people have been captured. I have a suggestion for these two brave Fox employees, Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly. Since they are both so high profile, not to mention the fact that they're macho men, and they have Christ on their side, and George W. Bush and the U.S. military to back them up, I think that Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly ought to publicly declare that they are willing to swap themselves for these two hapless Fox News employees who were doing nothing in the occupied territories other than, I'm assuming, feeding information, video, and perhaps some audio so that O'Reilly and Sean could continue to posture as though they were Americans rather than the traitorous cowards that they really are. So Hannity no longer listens to this program because his ears started bleeding after a while. He used to listen all the time, but he quit, and I know this to be true. O'Reilly is too busy playing with himself with a loofah or whatever the hell he uses now, or one of those blow-up dolls, I'm not sure. So I doubt if they're going to hear this, but you right-wing sneaks that listen to this program, I have a project for you. I want you to send emails or write in your blogs that Malloy over at Air America Radio has suggested that both Hannity and O'Reilly really step up to the plate here and prove that they're not pro-terrorist. Step up to the plate and prove that they do want to do something to save America from these hideous threats of open containers on airplanes and stuff. And the way to do that is to volunteer, since they're both high profile, and everybody on the planet knows who Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly are, right? So this would be a very simple thing for them to do. They're not like a journalist from the Christian Science Monitor. They're not like a cameraman for a CBS correspondent. This is Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly. So I think enough pressure applied to these two macho men, and maybe they will step up to the plate and prove that they're not working in favor of the terrorists.
And if they need help finding the place, I'm sure Geraldo could draw them a nice map.
I'm sure Geraldo could. As a matter of fact, a bonus piece in this little chess game might be Geraldo Rivera, who has really, really turned into some kind of a sucker fool, hadn't he? Back to your phone calls. Patrick is calling from Buffalo, New York. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey, Patrick.
Mike?
Yes.
Hi. I'm a little nervous. Listen, I'm...
Well, watch out for those spiders. They're going to start crawling out of your telephone.
Okay. Oh. I have a comment about Joe Lieberman.
Yeah, all right.
This terror alert. I talked to a Marine right after the terror alert, a friend of mine, at the VA hospital, and we were both talking about it, how it seemed kind of convenient that they had it right after he lost.
Right, right.
And that I have a comment about the anti-war movement, which, of course, I'm anti-war, but my son's getting ready to go in the Army.
Why is that happening?
Because I want him to.
You do?
I want him to serve his country. I prefer he served it in the Peace Corps or some other volunteer thing, but he wants to go in the Army. But the problem I have with the anti-war movement or the progressives for the left, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. is it doesn't take much of an ethical leap to be against war. It's kind of obvious. It's a very simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in, because I'm originally from Los Angeles, so I wouldn't even wear my uniform when I came home.
Mm-hmm.
Not that people spit on me. I never had that extreme, because, you know, you hear that from Vietnam vets, but that's all crap. Mm-hmm. But I just knew not to wear my uniform. I was anti-war even when I went in. But I was Irish, and that's what you did. You went in the military, you went to jail. But I would prefer if some of these people would get off their butt and maybe go up to the VA and push a wheelchair or volunteer results of war.
Well, let me ask you something, Patrick. Why not have your son serve? I don't know why anyone would want to serve the United States at this point in our history, in its wars of imperialism and aggression, where there is no reason for us to be killing other people on this planet. No one. Let me repeat that, Patrick. No
Mike,
one. No
Mike,
one.
I,
hold on.
Mike,
hold on. Hold on, Patrick. Let me finish this.
Yeah.
No one has attacked us. No one is legitimately or realistically threatening us. So my question to you, if I had a son who wanted to serve his country and said he wanted to do it by joining the army, I would break his legs. I would do anything I could to keep him out. Do you know why?
I know why.
Because I love my son. And because the last thing I would allow, if I had any authority over him, would be for him to join the military at a time when it is has been turned into nothing but a monstrous wheel of aggression against other people. I'm sorry, Patrick, if that upsets you.
No,
but that's,
Mike, it doesn't. I understand your viewpoint, because I appreciate you that you take a stand, and Randy Rhodes take a stand, and I'm sure you got lawsuits or some abuse from your stand. But the elite don't serve. I grew up poor, and it's like I didn't have much choice. But anyway,
were you drafted?
I was going to be.
No, but were you?
I volunteered. I wanted to serve my country. I believe in it. I still do.
Is the only way to serve one's country is to go kill?
No, Mike, it's not.
Look, Patrick, I'm not trying to harass you. I'm not trying to challenge you. But what I hear you saying, is that in the age of Bush, the only way one can serve one's country is to join a military that has been totally prostituted by Donald Rumsfeld and murderously abused by Dick Cheney and cavalierly treated like trash by George W. Bush. If you and your son want to serve the country, is there not another way to do it? I'm not challenging you. I'm just asking.
Mike, I serve my country. I believe I prefer my son would not go in the army, but because I'm against war. That book you talked about, War is a Racket. When you first talked about it a few months ago, last time I heard you talk about a Marine at the VA had told me about it, and then I heard you talking about it. And I know how corrupt it is, but I think the elite, the way this war is going to end, is for the elite, the college students, if they have to drop their iPod and have to go down and join the service, then they'll be out there. But the elite don't serve.
Well,
they protest for the ROTC coming on campus and everything, but they have Enron coming, or the drug companies, all these big corporations on there recruiting all the time.
Okay, Joe,
they're hypocritical.
Or Patrick, I mean, I'm utterly confused. I'm agreeing with everything. Now wait a second, please,
yes.
help me out here, because I am kind of on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am. Yeah,
I'm a nurse.
Yes.
I can help you.
Well, no, I don't think so.
I was a medic in Vietnam.
But Patrick, I'm agreeing with what I'm hearing you say. And I'm thinking to myself, then why why let your son participate in this madness? I agree that if we are still at a phase in human development where we decide that sometimes the only way we can settle disagreements over territory or resources is to go kill each other, if we're still at that point, where does that leave your son?
Mike, I'm divorced, and my ex-wife and my daughter were born-again Christians, and my son was rejected by that church, and I don't believe in that, never did, my son, I can get real personal that he feels like he doesn't have a purpose, and he told me a few days ago he wanted to learn how to use guns, and he says, well, they'll teach you that, they'll teach you how to go camping, but can I tell you a joke? It's a Vietnam joke, but I updated it.
Wait a second. How do you serve? How do you serve Jesus and death at the same time? How do you say your son is a born again Christian? How does
no? He's not.
Oh, he's not.
My ex-wife and daughter are.
But what's that got to do with your son?
Mike, he was rejected by that, and so he's looking for some purpose. So he's looking to the military.
But why don't you show him your own life, Patrick? You were a medic, and now you're a nurse. You try to heal and repair and get people's bodies functioning again. And this just seems insane that you do that, and your son is going to go blow people's arms off and maybe his own.
Well, I
don't get this,
Mike. Mike, I know what you're saying, and I'm torn with it too, because I'm anti-military, but I think, the way I see life, that the rich, the elite, don't serve. You know, but they get out of it.
Okay. Listen.
Can I tell you a joke, Mike?
Yeah, quickly.
I have to. Well, this is for your wife.
Okay,
quick. She's got more of a sense of humor than you.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think of our Iraqi position? Well, I like it, but my wife says it hurts her back.
Oh, that's so funny. All right, Patrick, listen, stay in touch. And
I will.
I hope your son
is
okay.
It's hard to get through to you, Mike.
I know.
It really
is. I hope your son serves his time and gets out of this okay, all right?
Mike, I told him about the military, which I thought I'd never do.
Right.
He said, Sean, you can get that uniform, you'll meet girls, you'll travel. He said to me, what do I want to do that for, Dad? It messed you up, didn't it? I said, Sean, I was messed up before I went.
All right. Well, Patrick, just tell your son to keep his head down. Take care. Stay in touch, all right?
Thank you.
All right, Patrick.
Because I don't see no ticker tape or five-mile parade saying thank you, son. Just folks that sit and judge me who ain't seen what I've seen or did what I've done.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Hello?
Hello, hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. He traded it in.
Wait a minute, that red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family, we should hang out. You and me and the Jetta. Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
most important lesson that I learned in Vietnam is that you cannot confide a guerrilla war with conventional forces.
Now this, you learned that, that was your lesson from Vietnam, Chuckle Nuts. That's when you were doing drugs and jumping on any female that you could get your hands on. Where was that, in Alabama, Texas? God, this guy makes me sick. Tom in San Jose writes, it occurred to me after hearing Bush's remarks that included the phrase Islamofascists, that Cheney or Rummy or Rove is setting Bush up by feeding him these kinds of statements to be hated so much by Muslims that someone will try to do something which will allow Cheney to come to power and then push through Congress the extreme laws that he is now forced to nibble at bit by bit, little at a time. The clock, Tom writes, is running because when the Democrats regain control of at least the House or the Senate, the neocon agenda will become difficult to accomplish. It's obvious that even when the Democrats do regain the House and or the Senate, there would be no impeachment of Bush. It would make no sense because all that would do is put Cheney in charge. It would be impossible to realize a dual impeachment. The best would be to impeach Cheney because that would leave a chicken without a head. I'm really afraid of what could happen if Bush keeps pushing the hate buttons of the Islamic people. Tom in San Jose. Yeah, I feel the same way. When I heard this unconscionable bastard use the term Islamofascist the other day, I just about lost it, too. Oh, God. Oh, well. All right, back to your phone calls. And by the way, I guess there aren't any open lines. So the number here is 866-303-2270. Ali is calling from Cooper City, Florida. Ali, welcome to the program.
Yes, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Pretty good. As far as W's ratings, they're so far in the toilet, I don't even think Roto-Rooter can get them out.
I think you're probably right.
And as far as those two reporters that got kidnapped in, what was that, Gaza?
I think, and I don't know that they were reporters. I saw or read or heard is that they are two employees of Fox News Channel. I would imagine it was probably a field producer and a camera person. That's about all I know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I hope they're all right, though. I hope they come out of it, even though they're from Fox.
Well, I do, too. Just like you never want to see Israeli children blown to pieces or Lebanese or Palestinian or any of it, you know.
Right, and as far as your point of view, as far as a solution, there will never be a solution. You're absolutely right, Mike, because one side can see it from their side, the other side sees it from their side, and both sides are losing civilians. And I just wonder, you know, with Israel making this overreacting and blowing up the Beirut airport and blowing up the infrastructure of a country, you know, I don't know if that's, I think that's terrorism itself. I mean, on the whole populace of Lebanon, you know, for soldiers.
I certainly agree. I said the other night on this program, and it really pissed off a couple of people, so I think it's time I said it again. The two major purveyors of terrorism right now are the United States and Israel. How else do you explain? I'm not saying that there are not radical groups that would like to have that title. There are radical groups that would like to have that title, but they don't have the firepower, they don't have the money, they don't have the organization that the United States and Israel has. And if a defining factor or defining element of terror is the indiscriminate killing of innocent civilians in order to make a political point, and I believe that is an elemental definition of terror, then the United States and Israel are right at the top of the heap right now.
I totally agree, Mike. I totally agree. As far as the terror, you got to remember where the terrorists come from. I mean, Israel planted the seeds back in 1982 and before that, and illegally occupying a sovereign state for 18 years while the people pushed, and from there,
was born Hezbollah. They planted the seeds. Now they're sowing them.
I think there's enough rage to go around to everybody in the Middle East. Thanks, Ali. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
You know when you open a birthday card from Grandma? She's usually good for, what, like $5? Well, now imagine that you have 100 grandmas. It feels like that.
Have you ever gotten out of your car and something catches your eye on the ground? You walk over and find a $5 bill? Okay, now pretend you find a $495 bill next to it. It's just like that.
New GEICO customers report an average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Dr. Phil is on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day. For a limited time, Match.com will guarantee you'll find someone special within 6 months, or will give you 6 months free. Join Match.com today, the number one site for love.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Tens of thousands of Lebanese citizens chased from their homes by the Israeli battles against Hezbollah have begun streaming back to the towns they were forced to abandon. Israeli airstrikes and rocket launches by Hezbollah remained on hold for a second day Tuesday in the Middle East as a ceasefire remains in place. Hezbollah's chief declared the ceasefire a victory, while he said his forces would cooperate with the Lebanese army and UN peacekeepers. But he says there has been no agreement to disarm, as the UN resolution suggests. Israel's chief diplomat at the UN says he's not surprised that the leader of Hezbollah is claiming victory after a month of fighting. UN Ambassador Dan Gillerman reacted to fireworks and celebrations in Beirut after Hezbollah leader Syed Hassan Nasrallah said his guerrilla group achieved a strategic and historic victory over the Israelis. Gillerman says this is Lebanon's last chance to break ties with the militant group.
Well, we don't trust the Lebanese. We would like to trust them, and we have no quarrel with Lebanon. But Lebanon has a very tragic and sad history of wanting to be free and being unable to free itself from the claws of this monster of terror. So the international community will have to help Lebanon.
Gillerman says the Hezbollah leader is still a target and he needs to be removed. British Airways says it has been forced to cancel more than 1,000 scheduled flights since British security officials announced the alleged bombing plot. Airline officials say the cancellations and strict security measures ordered at the London airports could cost the airline more than $75 million. But BA says Heathrow Airport is to blame for many of the delays and cancellations, and it might sue the airport to recover some of those losses. The tightest restrictions are being eased at Heathrow, but BA still expects 20% of its flights to be scratched Tuesday. Passengers at Bob Hope Airport in Burbank, California, are applauding the new security screening measures. Travelers said the delays were justified if it meant a safer flight.
Absolutely. If I have to wait an extra 10 minutes to prevent a plane from dropping out of the sky, I'm good with that.
I don't think anyone should be upset about the security measures given the circumstance.
I'm flying to Puerto Rico on Thursday, and they can't be too secure as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, if it doesn't take too many personal freedoms away, I'm okay with that.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back, about 7 past the hour. Regarding the two Fox employees, first from the Associated Press, as carried by the Washington Post, it says, masked Palestinian gunmen ambushed a car carrying a Fox News crew in Gaza City on Monday and kidnapped two journalists, according to witnesses and Fox. Fox News said in a statement, "We can confirm that two of our people were taken against their will in Gaza." The only question I have about this is masked gunmen. How are they so sure they're Palestinian? Anyway, major militant groups in Gaza denied any connection to the incident. There was no immediate word of any demands made. And then this is from the Australian Broadcasting Corporation Down Under. Negotiations are continuing to secure the release of a New Zealand television cameraman and an American reporter who were kidnapped at gunpoint in Gaza City. Cameraman Olaf Wigg from New Zealand and correspondent Steve Santani, an American, were working for the American Fox News Network when they were taken hostage by masked gunmen in the center of the city. Mr. Wigg's wife, journalist Anita McNaught, also works in the Middle East. She says in the past, journalists or foreign aid workers kidnapped in Gaza have usually been released within hours. She says, quote, what seems to be the situation with abductions of this sort is that they're often local disputes and the hostages are taken not as we see in Iraq and not as we see in Afghanistan for a violent end, but they're taken in order to broker agreements locally. They're taken to use as leverage, unquote. Now, what's the big glaring difference? You don't have these two stories in front of you. I do, but maybe you heard it. The big glaring difference in the Washington Post, it's the first three words, masked Palestinian gunmen. You see? Boom. Palestinians. Got to be Palestinians. In the entire Australian Broadcast Corporation online, the ABC online, it doesn't mention, it doesn't attempt to identify the nationality of the people doing the seizing. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even identify their gender. You see, that's the difference between journalism and the kind of crap that we have to deal with in this country. The Australians report negotiations are continuing to secure the release of a New Zealand television camera and American reporter who were kidnapped at gunpoint in Gaza City. And that's the way the lead to the story should read, because that's the only fact that is known. The lead in the Associated Press, Washington Post, masked Palestinian gunmen ambushed a car carrying a Fox News crew in Gaza City on Monday and kidnapped two journalists, according to witnesses and Fox. Jesus God. Well, I just have to wonder about, as always, with these pigs that now run the United States, the pigs, as in Animal Farm, the pigs who now run the United States, especially the private contractors, the CIA pigs who operate with no oversight any longer, the private contractors who commit murder at whenever they feel like it, torture whenever they feel like it. But I always have to question when I see a story like this as to whether or not it was carried out by any militant group or special agents of the United States government working under the direct control of either Elliot Abrams or who's the guy who's now in charge of all U.S. security. It's Negroponte. From Joy in Santa Cruz, her subject line says, that weird dad. Joy says, well, that was a very strange call from a very strange guy who wants his son to serve, though he's against the military and the war. What's wrong with this picture? If he wants his son to serve our nation, lots of ways to serve. He could train to be a fighter, firefighter or an EMT. He could join the Conservation Corps, the Peace Corps. He could work with returning vets. And if he must join the service, how about the Coast Guard? The caller made no sense to me. He should be promoting his son to follow practices of creation, not destruction. Well, I agree, but I thank Joy there was more there than Patrick was able to talk about. Jeremy, regarding the same caller, says it's sad when the previous caller, what the previous caller is going through, but it seems he certainly expresses some deluded thinking. In describing the college kids as elite, he misses entirely some basic class realities of the country. Most college kids come from lower or middle class, like myself. or lower middle class background. There's Pell Grants and student loans, so it's certainly not a matter of one or the other to be rich or elite or to join the Army. So the kids should stop protesting the military recruiters and should march over and join the Army to kill their class counterparts of other countries? Yeah, that'll work. Peace, Jeremy. Yeah, that's the way. Patrick is right in the sense, though, that the elites always, look at George Bush, the elites always find a way to avoid military service. And elite, in some instances, has to do with a person's sense of self-entitlement. You know, George Bush is about as much of an elite in this country as he is a war hero. Anyway, back to your phone calls. Marge is calling from Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Hey there. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm here in the Midland.
Yeah, well,
not bad. Not bad for an old lady.
Yeah, well, good.
Did you have time yet to read the article or essay by Lewis Lapham in September issue of Harper's Magazine?
Is that the one that's out right now?
Yeah, it just came out.
I think I've gotten my copy. I think I've read it. I read so much stuff. Well, just briefly.
Well, the first introductory quote is, in the last analysis, terrorism is an idea generated by capitalism to justify better defense measures to safeguard capitalism.
Yeah, I did read it. Yeah.
And in the body, there's one sentence that just about blew my mind when they talk about capital markets for the manufacture of fear and the sale of death.
There you go.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And then what's-his-face, Alberto Gonzalez, is talking about tightening up the tools necessary to safeguard the U.S. citizen. Give me a bloody damn
yeah,
break.
You're right.
I mean, what is he going to do, rewrite the Patriot Act again?
I know. It's insane. Marge, when these people talk, And simple logic tells you that what they're saying is the perfect inverse of what the truth is. You know what I'm saying?
It's a load of crap is what they're saying.
Right. Well, that's what I mean.
I want you to know I cleaned that up.
Yeah, I know you did, and I always appreciate it when you don't let loose like a drunken sailor on the program. Not that you drink.
Not anymore. Well, anyway.
Right.
By the by.
Yeah.
Have you heard or seen a report of Gas Pump Man?
No.
He emanates out of the town of Renton, Washington. That's with an R. Never heard of it.
Right, I have.
Okay. It's somewhere near Seattle, I take it. And he's a volunteer for one Darcy Berner, who is running against David Reichert.
Yeah.
And he goes around in his cape and mask and his foam rubber gas pump.
Yeah. Foam rubber gas pump?
Yeah. You know, he stands on, let's see, what does it say? He outside of Seattle, raises the awareness of gas prices. Honk if you pay too much for gas or whatever he's saying. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But the picture of Gas Pump Man just kind of tickles my fancy. What can I tell you?
Yeah, well, that is kind of cool. Gas Pump Man. Yeah. I think I like that, although it does sound like a Saturday morning cartoon, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, we might as well put him in cartoons, these people that are running around, supposedly running our country, and they don't want to tell us a damn thing about what they're doing or how they're doing it. Belong in the funny papers.
They do. All right, Marge, here comes a bunch of guys marching into our radios chanting. I'll talk to you next time, okay?
Be good. Take care.
All right, you take care. Thanks, Marge.
They invaded Kuwait, so let's not hesitate. We can blow up a country or two. If it's oil or it's Greece, we don't have time for peace. Waging war is what we want to do. Oh, I'd go anywhere to fight for oil, to lubricate the red, white, and blue.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
What's more important to you, a better-looking vacuum or a cleaner, healthier home? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL may not win any beauty contests, but it wins rave reviews from owners of those dust-spewing bagless clunkers. Once they try an Orrick XL, they love it. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and take a risk-free trial of the vacuum that won't send a cloud of dust in your face.
Hi, is Michael there? Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And how is it?
Great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-loved. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring a 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
The hour. Just one more on the caller, Patrick, who's a veteran who whose son is going to join the military, even though Patrick doesn't think it's a good idea. This is very quickly from Marla. Here's my two cents. She writes, his kid feels as if he doesn't have a purpose, according to Patrick. My advice, tell the kid to hit the road, travel the country, get to know people, take a couple college classes, meet some smart girls, volunteer at a hospital or a nursing home, become a camp counselor for kids, join a band, join a theater group, get a job, get a hobby. My guess is joining the army isn't going to help him find his purpose. It'll only delay his soul-searching process. If he takes a class at a local community college and doesn't like it, he can drop the class. If he doesn't like doing volunteer work, he can always stop volunteering. If he doesn't like being in the army, then tough. There's no turning back. The military targets young people for a very good reason. They're impressionable, and a lot of these kids do feel a bit lost. When you combine that with their tendency to think or believe that they'll live forever and that nothing bad will happen to them, they're perfect targets for the military. And just because Patrick survived Vietnam doesn't guarantee his kid will survive what these neocons might have in store for him. Yeah, Patrick, if you're still listening, you know, these emails from people are just concerned, that's all. They're not challenging your role as your son's father. I don't get that sense at all. They're concerned about you because of what you went through and what your kid, or your young man, I should say, possibly will go through. Let me just share my own personal thing here. My son, Chris, who will turn 29, when he was, how old was he, Kathy? About 21, 22? Is that right? About 21 or 22, I believe. He called me, he said he's going to join the Navy. And I said, I don't think it's a good idea. And he said, why? And we chatted about it. Well, my brother-in-law was a naval officer, two tours in Vietnam and then shore duty in Italy. And Ken was on aircraft carrier. I think he was on the Enterprise. And so I said, well, talk to Ken. You know, don't listen to me because I've not been in the military. Talk to Ken. He was a naval officer. So I called Ken. Well, before I told Chris to do that, I called Ken and said, you know, will you talk to him about this? And Ken said, hell yes, I'll talk to him about it. And Ken's a Republican. And Ken's a conservative, although he is a traditionalist. He is not a neocon psychopath, and he's certainly not a Bush supporter. So my brother-in-law got on the phone with my son, and when the conversation was over, and I'm not privy to that conversation because it was between them, Chris decided that was not the way to go. So because he is who he is, my son, he became a firefighter. He took his EMT training. He took all that training that you can get once you're a firefighter, and now he is in his preliminaries for nursing school with an idea, I think, of going on to become a physician's assistant. And that's the way he is, that's the way he's, you know, he's handling his desire to serve his country. So, Patrick, I just bring that up just from personal experience. You know, we've got everybody in my family. I have an uncle. He's dead now, but during World War II, he was a conscientious objector. I have another, and he went to jail. I have another uncle who was an infantry sergeant in World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's dead now, too. They didn't die of war wounds. They just died of old age. I've had relatives who were cops. I've had relatives who served in the military and relatives who said no to hell with it. So we've got a real spectrum in our family. And I just think that military tradition and the things that your son is looking for, if he wants to learn how to use firearms, oh my God, he doesn't have to join the military. There's all sorts of ways to learn how to use firearms. If nothing else, be a cop. But, the emails we're getting in here are people who are just concerned about you and your son, Patrick. That's all. There's no offense intended here. You know, your son is going to do what your son is going to do, and I think most people respect that. It's just sometimes, you know, a chat from the right family member can put a different perspective on things. That's all. That's all. Patrick, no offense, okay? Our North Metro Atlanta correspondent, Sharon, sent me something from the Associated Press. It says, violence against women in Afghanistan is widespread and mainly happens inside victims' homes, according to UN survey released today. The survey conducted between January 2003 and July 2005 paints a bleak picture for women who undergo physical, sexual, and psychological violence in this conservative Islamic country. It goes on, but it's just one more example of the lies of George and Laura Bush that is Afghan women are all of a sudden living in this democratic paradise. That's a filthy lie, especially to the women who are supposed to be living in this democratic paradise. Thanks, Sharon.
And listen to your leaders, the ones that won the race, as they stand right there before you and lie into your face. If you ever try to buy them, you know what they stand for. I know you're set for fighting, but what are you fighting for?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young Freedom of Speech Radio with David Bender. Here's David with David Crosby on Air America.
You're not shy about sharing your views. What's your take on the national political scene right now?
If ever there was a group of politicians who did not impress you with their skill and intelligence, it's the ones we've had running the Democratic Party. Now is the time for the man of character to stand up and say, you know what, this just doesn't cut it.
Looking for a leader.
The Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights are the best defense of freedom that's ever taken place. This country is the best place on earth. We're not giving it up this easy. Let's get in this and fight. And we, Neil wrote that song, too. We're looking for a leader. It's a really good song. And he means it. He's totally sincere.
Stay tuned for more Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young Freedom of Speech Radio with David Bender and your chance to win exclusive tickets when CSNY get to your town. Get more information online at AirAmericaRadio.com.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
I work all day, Dr. Phil, and okay, fine, I guess I'm sort of a homebody, so I feel like it's really never going to happen for me.
Look, love is not like the pizza man. Hi, I'm going door to door looking for a life partner. Not going to happen.
Dr. Phil is on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day. For a limited time, Match.com will guarantee you'll find someone special within 6 months, or will give you 6 months free. Join Match.com today, the number one site for love.
We'll be right back.
have said repeatedly, we are in a dangerous phase of this war. And as we learned, we lost life. But nevertheless, it is worth it, and it is necessary.
Oh, God. 25 before the hour, Randy is calling from Southwest Nebraska. Randy, welcome to the program.
Well, hi.
Hey.
Hey, your music on that hold button got driving nuts on a cell phone.
But
it's okay.
Nuts.
I waited.
It drives you nuts no matter where you hear it.
Yeah, it's not
know,
quite
it's awful.
The quality we oppose.
It's awful. So what's up, Randy?
Oh, I've been listening all night. This first about the first time I've really ever called in. I listen a lot, and I drive a truck, and I listen to it while I'm driving my truck.
Mm-hmm.
But I pulled over so I can actually hold a little bit of conversation.
Okay.
You were talking to Patrick and about his son.
Right.
Going into the military.
Right.
Well, I enlisted at about 17. I was still a senior in high school. I spent 4 years in the Air Force and a few months in the National Guard. I have a daughter that she's 22, and she joined the Army. She went to Des Moines and took the physical and got sworn in and then came home and told me.
Right.
I did my part trying to talk her out of it because I didn't think she was going to like it. But she had got her LPN license, and she's been working since she was 16. She's pretty gung-ho.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she is now about 2 weeks into Iraq at a detention center.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the location, but she says she's fairly safe there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's her duties is to take care of the detainees. I guess they don't call them prisoners, but they all hate them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's no way a 21 or 22-year-old, if they make their mind up to do something, you're just going to have to kind of go along with it. You know, so we give her support. Make sure she got plenty of phone cards. But I just wanted to say that. I'm very proud of my daughter for her abilities and her pride, whether it's misguided or not. You know, I don't believe in this Iraqi war at all.
Are you worried about her?
Oh, duh. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Every day, about every 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, yeah, I have a lot of concern. She's a twin. She's the youngest of seven.
Is she concerned about her environment? Is she worried?
Pardon me?
Is she concerned about her environment now? Is she worried?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, she's worried. I know she tries to call home almost every night. She's on the, 6:30 at night, 6:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So the nine-hour time difference, you know, it's we catch her about 8 o'clock at night if she's going to call. She's worried.
Well,
she has to,
if you had any doubt, let me just clear something up. Maybe it doesn't need clearing, but, you know, I feel the same way. Had my brother-in-law not been able to convince my son that there was a different way to do this rather than going to the military, and had he joined... Because you're right, you know, 21, 22, 23, 25-year-olds are very headstrong. Had he joined the military, I would have supported him emotionally and any other way I could to the same degree that you're supporting your daughter. And I mean, what's a parent going to do? I mean, that's all we can do. A lot of times our kids do things that, you know, I'm not talking about criminal things. I'm talking about things that maybe we would not want them to do because we're smarter than our kids.
Yeah, skydiving or something like that.
Yeah, we have more life experience than our kids. We have more insight than our kids. So they hop a ride on their idealism, and they're off into the sunset. So I think what you're doing is absolutely what a father should do, and I certainly respect you for it. I hope your daughter gets home okay. I hope all the kids that are over there who...
Yeah, I do too.
You know, doing it for whatever reason, they... And I know some of the people that join the military are really gung-ho. They can't wait to pick up a weapon and open fire.
Her idea was more to... gain the education.
Sure.
You know, Can I say one more thing?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I have a cure for the end of all wars.
What is it?
It's actually simple. It'll never happen. But if you get all the politicos and all the ones who want to promote war, you know, whatever race, creed, color, whatever they want to be,
mm-hmm.
you get them out on the front line and lead the charge.
Sure.
There won't be any wars.
Well, you
know, as long as they can armchair it and say somebody else go die for them, there'll be war.
That's right. Who was it that elaborated on the idea that, you know this as well as I do, Randy, that it's old men who devise the wars and it's young men or now young women who have to go fight them. And it's just a damn shame. Wouldn't you think, Randy, at some point we would get to the point where we didn't do this to each other?
Yeah, I would like to see it in my lifetime. I have very little faith in it, though.
Mm-hmm.
For now, I would be satisfied with them not to escalate this crap over in the Middle East and to get out of Iraq and get mm-hmm. our kids home. They could. They have so much more potential than to be over there being targets.
Yeah.
People don't want us. We're not gaining anything over there. We're just losing kids.
That's right. Well, your daughter's going to be okay. For people who pray, I'm sure they're going to pray for her. For those of us who like to get the idea of projecting positive energy, I'm sure that's being done. And stay in touch, all right, Randy? I want just call in once in a while and let us know what you hear from your daughter, all right?
I will. It was good talking to you.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you checking in. Drive safe. Drive safe. We'll talk again. Leah is calling from Las Vegas. Leah, welcome to the program. Is it Leah or Lee?
It's Leah.
Leah. Hi, Leah.
Yeah, hi, Mike. And you are a true hero. Without you each night, I don't know what I'd do. I'm about ready for the heart attack, just like you said a while ago.
I think most of us are, Leah.
Yeah. Well, you hold in there because you are what keeps us together. So I wanted to address Patrick just for a moment.
Sure.
He served in the Vietnam War. Am I correct with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now he's...
Well, he served in the military. He didn't sound old enough to me to have actually... I may be wrong, but he just didn't sound old enough to have actually been in Vietnam, but he served in the military.
Okay, I understood it to say Vietnam, but that's okay.
Hold on just a second. What, Kathy? He was in Vietnam? Okay, I'm sorry, my bad. Kathy says, yeah, he was a corpsman or a medic, whatever it's referred to now in Vietnam, yes.
You see, that's why you married her, because she's got all the facts.
That's absolutely true.
From there, Mike, I just want to say that, in all honesty, when he said that, oh, well, it'll be like a day camp, like a Cub Scout camp, and he can learn a lot from that, and he can learn how to use a gun, it kind of threw me for a moment there. A day camp? You know, it's not a day camp. This is very serious business. And for him being in the Vietnam War, he should know that as well. I actually think, Mike, and I don't want to be derogatory, but I actually think that he needs to get some counseling with his son before he lets his son go forth with this, because it is a very serious thing. I would not allow one of my children to go. I would stand in front of a bullet, go to jail for the rest of my life before they would send one of my children mm-hmm. off to this war.
Well, I agree with you on that. I would have done the same. I don't know what I would have done had Chris decided to go ahead and join the military, even the Navy in Bush's war. I don't think any service man or service woman can get from the military what traditionally over the course of, well, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I used to be a very much in support of military tradition and the fact that most societies need to have a standing army, regardless of what the founders of this country said.
Sure, legitimate one.
Yeah, simply because we are human beings and we still believe that if we kill enough of the other side that somehow we're going to win something, and that's sick and perverted, and we all know that. But even given that, I used to think to myself, there is still honor in serving in the military, and I'm having a hell of a time seeing where there's any honor serving in this war.
Right.
And I hate to say that, because it sounds like well, Malloy's not supporting the troops. I guess what it gets down to, we used to have leaders in whom we could to some degree, we could trust our young people's lives. Now, I wouldn't put Lyndon Johnson in that group because he lied to us. I wouldn't put Nixon in that group. I don't know who anymore
yeah,
I would put in that group.
It's really mind-boggling. But let me just finish by saying
sure.
Our primary here in Nevada is tomorrow. And I'm going to be probably at Tessa Heaven's house. She will win that part of the primary for against Congressman John Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is Nevada I'm talking about.
Right,
and
right.
If you wouldn't mind, during the primary, as she wins, if you don't mind me calling the show and let you talk to her, it would be great.
Please do. Just
terrific.
Call in tomorrow, Leah, and we'll put her on, all right?
Oh, that'd be great, Mike.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Leah.
All right, Mike. You have a great night.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Quick break here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
With your pen and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times they are a-changing.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
that long ago that we started military operations. We've been there, what, how many days? You're counting the days since we've been there, because I'm not. Did Saddam Hussein have a weapons program?
It's about 9 before the hour. Our program was engineered tonight in New York by Justin Yuen and Tim MacArthur. Thanks, guys. David Weissman handled your calls. Thanks, David. Also, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Ben Birch, White Rose Society, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, usual gang of bandits, and Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Bob is calling from Sacramento, who's been holding on for about 2 hours. Bob, I'm sorry, but welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Mike. I'm the guy whose email you read last Monday night as you were signing off about Willie Nelson's biodiesel truck stop being closed for renovation.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, what I wanted to call about was a lot of your callers, you know, to your show and other Air America shows keep asking, what can we do, you know, besides writing to our elected officials and voting, and what more can we do? Well, I think we can all agree that the petroleum industry exerts too much influence on our foreign policy and environmental policy and so on. And so my advice would be wean yourself off of your own addiction to oil.
Mm-hmm.
If you can conserve, conserve. If you can run your car or truck, whatever, on ethanol, do that. And if you can run it on biodiesel, do that. For my own part, I've converted 2 diesel vehicles to run on straight vegetable oil that I get from restaurants as used cooking oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I also make biodiesel in my own garage.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah, the chemistry of actually doing the biodiesel, converting vegetable oil to biodiesel, is actually pretty simple. It's a lot like soap making, actually. But instead of water, you know, soap is vegetable oil, water, and lye. Well, for biodiesel, it's just vegetable oil and alcohol and lye. So it's
Bob, I have nothing but monumental respect for you specifically and people in general who do what you're doing. But you apparently are a realist, and I try to be a realist, although I fail most of the time. And since you are one, and I'm striving to be one, we can come to this agreement. The average American is no more going to set up in his or her garage a conversion unit to do cooking oil than they are going to try to figure out how to do an anti-gravitational machine.
Stations being set up.
I understand. But it's going to have to get more painful, Bob, than $3 a gallon. It's going to have to get to the point, I think, where $5 or $6 a gallon for gas, because we Americans are babies. We have been spoiled since the end of World War II into believing that we're entitled to this, entitled to that. We are not willing to sacrifice. I'm talking about
Mike, what's happening now is with the fuel prices from petroleum getting so high, the price difference between biodiesel and petroleum diesel is almost non-existent.
Well, I understand that, and I'm
just
saying.
It's like the trucker that called in last Monday said he thought the Willie Nelson's biodiesel truck stop was selling biodiesel for about the same price as petroleum diesel, so there's no pain involved in switching over.
Well, no, not if you're driving an over-the-road rig and you've got to save some money. And, you know, I can't think of a service station here in Atlanta, the Atlanta area, that gives me a choice of petroleum-based or biodiesel-based fuel. It just has to get more painful before we're willing to do this.
No, the higher the price goes on the petroleum fuels, the more incentive there'll be for other people to get into the renewables.
That's true. But it's got to get much more painful. We don't do anything in this country until it is so excruciatingly painful that we feel like we don't have a choice. And that's aside from the fact that global warming and the degradation of the of what we breathe is going on even as you and I are sitting here talking. I don't know what it is about us, and frankly, it's not just Americans. Come on, to be honest, it's human beings.
I mean, I think a lot of it is force of habit. Just people are used to going to the pump and getting it. And I mean, the last few years when gas prices go up, all the TV station news reporters go out to the stations and ask people about how they feel about it. And a lot of them say, well, I got to get to work. I have no choice. And that's part of the problem. People don't realize that they would just look around, that they might actually have a choice.
And it kind of pisses me off that the TV news crews burn up fuel to go out and ask somebody how it feels to burn up fuel.
Right.
All right. Well, Bob, I have to say, and I'm not saying this in a kind of offhand way, but I mean it. I really respect, and I think a lot of people listening, what you just had to say, what you just said, do respect what you're doing. Hopefully, the day will come when more of us can do it. But in the meantime, we're doomed. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks,
it's
Bob.
Actually, it's not as hard as some people would think it is.
I understand. You need to write the manual. Write the manual.
It's been done, Mike. I can tell you what the book is.
What is it?
It's called From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank, written by Joshua Tickell. That's Tickell.
From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank.
Right.
Okay. All right. Now, wait. Hold on. Everybody who's listening, do a Google, go to Barnes & Noble. Oh, God, I hate them. Go to Amazon. Oh, I hate them, too. Just find this.
You can go to
From
Joshua
the Fryer
Tickell.
To the Fuel Tank.
Yeah, well, you can go to veggievan.org, which is his Joshua Tickell's own organization, and you can buy the book directly from him.
Oh, that's good. Veggievan.
Veggievan.org.
VeggieVan.org.
Yeah, to promote biodiesel, he went all across the country in a Winnebago Lachero diesel where he towed his own biodiesel processor behind him all across the country to promote it.
Out of sight. Bob, thanks. VeggieVan.org. Thanks, Bob. Check in with us again. I appreciate what you had to say. VeggieVan.org. Go there. For God's sake, go there, okay? I'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks for participating in the program tonight. Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hi, is Michael there?
Yes,
sir. Oh, hi, Michael. Wow. Okay, my name is Neil.
Yep.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta. I was the original owner, actually. I used to own it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Why am I calling, right?
No, it's cool.
I mean, maybe I shouldn't have. It's just, I just miss it, you know? And how is it?
What?
The car? It's great, isn't it? It's so great.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You've been driving it and stuff?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Volkswagen owners really love their cars, but sometimes they have to let them go. Then we pass them on to you. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.